So I want to spend most of today going through. Does everybody have up the Xerox I sent from the Rugs article? Was the Xerox nice? Was the Xerox readable?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Beforehand, we'll just do a couple of comments I have here quickly. And before we hit that, I didn't get to do last time, and I wanted to see because it's important. The first Rambam in Hilchos Mamre. So, if you guys can get that open, I'll try to get that open too. Remember last time we saw, according to the Rambam, right, the Beis Din, the whole system of Batei Din and Beis Din HaGadol and the Shoftim and the Shoterim is not just about enforcing mishpat and judicial harmony, but you have the whole vast system, the network of judges and police officers who are going out into the street and ensuring religious observance, a much more sweeping and kind of universal license that they've got. They're not just sitting judging court cases. In fact, that's not even their primary job. So Hilchos Mamrim, which is also in Sefer Shoftim, it's one of the Rambam's kind of creative ideas that he comes up with, the halachos of rebellion. So you've got people who rebel against the Sanhedrin. You've got, interestingly, along with that, is people who rebel against their parents. Right? Those are the two themes of Hilchos Mamrim. So Kibud Av V'Aim is in here, and Vincent Mora is in here, along with halachos of Zakin Mamre, and people who are rebelling against the Sanhedrin. So this happens to be. You see an interesting way of how the Rambam thinks by putting those two together. But if you look at the first halachas, this is one of these like landmark Rambams that just everybody should know. The Rambam says, or halacha alf, so we want to read it.
Beis Din HaGadol shel Yerushalayim, hi mikar tzur shel peh. Ehim amudei ha-horah, mehem chuk u'mishpat yotzei lechol Yisrael. Ba'alein, hivtikha Torah, shenemar, al pi Torah asher yotzei, זו מצוות עשה. וכל המאמין במשה רבינו בתורתו חייב לסמוך במעשה הדת עליהם ולהישען עליהם.
Okay, so let's just break this statement down because the Rambam kind of packed a number of things into one sentence, right? So this is the Beis Din HaGadol, right? So that's Sanhedrin of 71. And the next word he tells us is that they have to be in Yerushalayim. Apparently they only have the special status that we're talking about in Aleph Aleph. When it's not just that, it could be the biggest 71 judges of the generation, but apparently they have to be in Yerushalayim. Okay. And the next point, the next line he has was what? Haim Iker Torah Shabal Peh. How would you translate that?
They are the pulsar of Torah Shabal Peh.
Right, that it's Torah Shabbat Peh, the pole star of Torah Shabbat Peh, that's great, is people, right, not books. And in particular, it's these people. So, either because of their, presumably they have the best credentials, and that's what got them onto the Sanhedrin Gadol in the first place. But apparently it's also because their role, right? If these people, even if they're Gadoli Hador, if they're not in Yerushalayim, then they no longer are the Iker Torah Shabbat Peh. Okay, but again, by the way, we see, right, the Sanhedrin HaGadol is not just, they're not just involved in judgment, right, they are the primary Torah Shabbal Peh people, right, and then the next line, V'heim Amudei HaHorah, so they're also the pillars of Horah Psak. So besides being the primary Torah personalities, they're also the primary poskim, that we would expect, right, you'd expect those people in Sanhedrin HaGadol to be the primary poskim, but it's interesting that that's not the first thing the Rambam says, right? Only after he tells you, Bezen HaGadol Shel Yerushalayim, Haim Iker Torah Shabbal Peh, oh, and by the way, they're also like the main judges, right? That seems to be a secondary role. And then, Mehem Choku Mishpat Yosei L'chol Yisrael. So these people have universal jurisdiction, right? Even though they're in Yerushalayim, their authority extends over the entire nation. And the Rambam apparently thinks that that's important enough. It's definitional to what the Sanhedrin is, because right, anything that he's putting in Aleph Aleph is definitional to the Sanhedrin. So in here he's saying, part of being a Sanhedrin is you're responsible for all of Yisrael. And the last thing that's interesting is that he tells you, also in Aleph Aleph, the source for their authority. We know, just historically speaking for a second, that this was controversial around most time, right? The Karaites in Egypt were popular at this stage. They were starting to decline, but they were still very, very much part of the community. And so there were plenty of people walking around Cairo in the Rambam's neighborhood who didn't believe the next line. But the Rambam has to tell you that, in fact, the authority of these people comes from the Torah itself. Right? So you can't make the argument that I believe in Torah Moshe, that I believe in Torah Shebichtav, without believing in Sanhedrin Agadah, right? The Rambam is laying out very clearly in the first halacha of what the Sanhedrin is all about that the two must go together. If you're going to be a Jew and you're going to be a Moshe Rabbeinu Jew, then that also means being a Sanhedrin Jew. You can't divide the two. Okay, so now I just wanted to have that on the record because we're going to come back to this later on. But we want to see once again. First of all, we see. Right, the Sanhedrin Agadol is much more than just a judicial system, but the Rambam is making them much, much more than that. Right? If you're buying into Judaism, then you're buying into the Sanhedrin Agadol, so the stakes are pretty high. Okay, so now let's go to the Mar Makomos that I sent you guys for this week. And I want to do the first ones pretty quickly and then spend most of the time today on the article from the Rav. And what I want to try to develop today is the idea we're going to focus on the relationship between the Sanhedrin, Hagadol, Batidin in general, and Bnei Yisrael. And the question of is this a top-down system where they make the rules and we follow the rules, or is it like more of a synergistic system where the authority of the Beis Din on some level is coming from Klal Yisrael? And that if you guys saw it is the argument that the Nitziv and Rosh Hashanah for Hirsch make right away on the Pasuk in Shoftim, right? Let's remember the first Pasuk in Shoftim, which was the source of the mitzvah to appoint judges. Shoftim v'shotrim titein lacha b'chol sharach, right? You are supposed to appoint judges for yourselves. So both the Nitziv and Rav Hirsch get excited by this phrase, titein lacha. So let's see what they say. I didn't send these quotes to you guys, but I can right now if you want. You don't have them open. It's not here. We'll just have to. Are you?
Yeah.
Great. So do you want to take the Nitziv for us?
Yeah. Sent,
what?
I don't think I have it yet.
You do not have it yet.
Okay. I mean,
you got it? Yeah.
I just got it.
Okay.
So titein lecha?
Yeah.
So b'lashon yachid, zeo azhara al knesset Yisrael, shen heim sanhedre gedola lahamid beitin v'chol ir. So this is like a warning to the Knesset Yisrael that they are the...
So yeah, that even though you think since Moshe is speaking to all of Bnei Yisrael, right? So grammar 101, it should be titnu lacha, right? So why is it titain lacha in the singular? So it's because this halacha is not going on, is not going on the multitude of individuals. It's going on the single entity, the single unit. Right, zo azhar al kneses yisra. Right, so it's the mitzvah falls on the tzibur as a whole. So the whole mitzvah of shoftim is going on the public entity, one united body. Okay, then let's go to the next little piece here. B'shaftu asa amish bat tzedek.
Gam zo azhara al knesset Yisrael sheyashgichu al hadayanim sheyish betu bat tzedek.
Aha, okay. Meaning what?
So that they should, like, watch over the judges, so that they should do a just judgment.
Right, exactly. So it's not a system of, you know, unsupervised, you know, they say we follow and nobody is overseeing the judges. There's a mitzvah on B'nai Yisrael. You have to make sure that your judges are involved in proper mishpat. So the dayanim are responsible for Klal Yisrael, but Knesset Yisrael is also responsible lahashkiach al hadayanim. That's part of the mitzvah saseh. Part of the mitzvah of setting up the judges is also setting up a system of making sure that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. Okay. And see the next line.
But
Kolar.
Kolar. Talue am b'tzavaram.
Right. So the kolar, is a collar.
Oh, okay.
Same word.
So it's what, like around their neck.
Exactly. So there's a chain around their neck, meaning the pressure and responsibility of proper justice does not just fall. You can't say that's the job of the judges. Right. That's the job of all of B'nai Yisrael together. Okay.
Okay.
So if you're the mayor, right?
So he has to be mashgiach, like watch over like the Beit Din and his city.
Exactly. They're reminding us of the Ran, and the Ran was talking about the role of the king in Mishpat and the role of the Shofet in Mishpat. So here the Nesiv is saying something similar, right? That the political heads of the city have to make sure that the judges are doing what they're supposed to be doing.
V'hainu de'ita v'midrash kohelat al pasak v'saneiti et ha'chaim de'rav Yoshia shama she'dayane iro eina mitukanim. Amar v'saneiti et ha'chaim v'hainu mishum she'alav haya mutal ashgiach hazeh v'ashma b'rosha. So he said, he said about this pasak, like, that I hate life.
Right.
So he said, he felt like it was on him that the judges of his city were not proper people. Since it was mutal on him to be mashkiach, to watch over, there was shame on his head.
Yeah, and that's a guilt on his head, yeah. Right? And that's a terrible burden, right? To have to be, it's hard enough for the judges to judge justly, but enforcing that the judges aren't taking bribes is an awfully difficult job. And he regretted that he had that because he realizes that it's going to be hard for him to live up to the call. Okay, so we see right away, right, from the Netziv, that the system of setting up judges is not a system of B'nai Yisrael sets up the judges judge B'nai Yisrael, and that's it. We can wash our hands of it, right? It's a system where they judge us, but we're also responsible to make sure that justice is, in fact, being followed properly. Rav Hirsch on the next pasuk is going to say something which, like, almost smacks of representative democracy. I'll take this one. Rav Hirsch says, "Titein lecha hapniyahi haklal halu'umi." Right. So, like the Nesiv, he focused on the fact that this is turning to lecha in the singular. This is going to the klal halu'umi, the entire nation. Shekvar yishlo nitzigut b'sanhedrin shel shivim ve'achad. Right. So they already have back in Sefer Bamidbar. They set up their, he calls it the representation, right? The representation of the Sanhedrin of 71. And now we're saying, Ha'uma unsigota chayavet, it's probably chayavot, no? L'milot shoftim v'shodrim, right? So the nation and their representatives, 71, are responsible, l'milot shoftim v'shodrim, to set up a whole system of 23 courts and 3 courts and shodrim. Osam shoftim v'shodrim yitmenu lecha kishluchecha. Right, the 23s and the 3s are the agents of the people and of the Sanhedrin Hagadol, who are the prime representatives of Klal Yisrael. Right, so you don't get much. I don't think get much more black and white than this. A claim for the Sanhedrin Hagadol of 71 and the entire system of judges gaining their authority from B'nai Yisrael, right? It goes, these are the shluchim of the Sanhedrin and of B'nai Yisrael working together. B'nai Yisrael and the Shoftim and the Sanhedrin come together to appoint as shluchim the whole system all across wherever Jews are. I think we can also find this theme coming through from the source of where we need 23 judges to judge Dinei Nefashos, right? So did you see the Machlokas in the Mishnah at the end of Daf Beis at the end of the Mishnah on the top of Daf Beis and Beis? So the Gemara asks, the Mishnah asks, sorry, the second line on the base of the base, the Kamiyahe Be'ir Utehe Ru'i L'Sanhedrin. How many people do you need to have in a city in order for them to be responsible to set up a Sanhedrin Katana, right, a court with 23 judges? So the Mishnah gives two positions. One, the Tanakhama says, Me'ev Eser, need 120. Rabbi Nechemya Omer, Masayim Ushloshim Keneged Sari Asar. So you need 230. Parallel to the Sari Asaros. Who are the Sari Asaros? Think back to Parshas Yisro. Exactly, right? Yisro advises Moshe to set up a whole system of judges going from Sari Alafim, Sari Meos, right? And the most local level of judgment is in units of 10, right? The judge of the people of 10. So we'll have to see where the Tanakhama is going to get 120. But the position of Rabbi Nechemya seems to be pretty clear where he gets this from. Right? The idea is that I have to assume that, you know, the more local we make judgment, the more of a direct connection there is between the judge and the people, right? And that's how the whole system of, like, the U.S. House of Representatives works in the United States. So if we're saying that you need 230, we're saying, look, it's not like we just impose, you know, randomly we impose a system of judges over the city. There needs to be a direct connection between the judges and the people who are there. So therefore the best way to have that is maybe the only way to have that he'll tell you is if you have each individual judge who represents his 10 constituents, them all coming together gets you the ability to have a Sanhedrin. So you can't have a Sanhedrin of 23 judges unless each one of them is representing their own, you know, small local unit of 10 people. So that's Rabbi Nechemya's position, and that's interesting. The question is, where the Chachamim get 120? And I think this is really unbelievable. So this is, you know, the first parak of Sanhedrin knocks out the entire Mishnah in one whole long Mishnah. So if you want to see where the Gemara will treat the last topic of the Mishnah, so we're going to have to turn to the very end of the first parak. We're learning the first parak this year, but the first Gemara we're going to see basically is towards the end. So skip to the good stuff. Okay, so you guys have it. It's the second to last two dots on Yud Zayin Amud Beis, where the Gemara says, "Vakama Yehi Beir Yehi Ruyah LeSanhedrin Meiv Eser V'Chulei." You want to take it?
Yeah,
go for it.
You know, Vakama Yehi Beir Yehi Ruyah LeSanhedrin Meiv Eser V'Chulei. Meiv Eser Yehi Ma'ah V'Yitayu Eser Mishlosha Can I Get Sanhedrin Kana Mishlosha Shuros Shal Eser Mishlosha.
Okay, so now let's actually take this carefully because we're gonna have to do math. So where do I get 120? So you get 23 from...
Yeah, this is just being straight up from the Sanhedrin Kana.
Right. So apparently the judges need to come from the city itself, right? They're not being bussed in from the outside.
Yeah. Shalosh shuros shel esrim shlosha. And it's not fully clear exactly who those extra 23 representing.
Yeah. So you need... So these are the three rows. You need to have three rows of it says of 23.
Additional. Three additional.
Right, three additional rows of students. Right, and these are the people who you can call them judges in training. The Talmidim, right, if one of the judges has to leave, so they'll promote one of these guys to the court. So you need, this is interesting in itself, the fact that you apparently need to have students there in order to have judgment going on. You know, I don't know what you need to do with that. But you need three rows of them, and that's 23 each. Okay, so 23 times 3. is.
It says here, or it says, Harry, you should do the dark
one. Right, so 23 times 3 is 69 plus 23 gets you 92. Okay, so between the judges and the students, we've got 92.
Sarah Butler and Shelby Sacknassus. Harry may have a trend.
Every good town needs to have its 10 Batlanin. Okay.
Mishnei Sofria, Mishnei Chazamin, Mishnei Balidin, Mishnei Yedin, Mishnei Zomin, Mishnei Zomin, Zomin. Harry may have Arbisa.
Okay, so what are these jobs here? What are these roles?
Well, you have, first you have two scribes.
Right, you need to have the court stenographers.
Right.
Right.
You have two. I don't know if Chazanu is here. Oh, like Sham says here in Rashi, Sham Shei Beizdin.
Right, and what do the Sham Shei Beizdin do?
They're the ones who take out the orders such as whipping.
Right, they whip and they are also in charge of summoning Lahazan Baladin Ladin. So they're the what we'd call the Shotrim from the Pasuk, right? These are the so you need two
okay.
bailiffs.
Okay.
Interesting, that's a Chazan. Next time you see a Chazan,
right,
you call him that.
Yishnei Baladin. Like two litigants.
Right, you can't have a court case that would have two parties, yeah.
Yishnei Aiden.
Mm-hmm.
Yishnei Zomimin. So I guess two other people could say, like, kind of be there for the, well, not be there for the Aiden, but to say that they were there at the same time as the Aiden.
Right, so we have to have two people who have the ability to counter the testimony of the witnesses.
Right.
And finally,
Yishnei Zomimin.
People who need to be able to counter that.
Right.
That gets us up to
114. May have every song. The Tanya. No, I guess we're in a price that they counted his last six. Koyer Sheinba Sarah Dvorim Halalu. In Tongkok on Rashai Ladur, the sofa. And you see without these 10 things is not worthy of having a Tongkok on reside in it. Bizdin Makin Gafunshin. So Bizdin that is able to carry out punishments.
Right.
The Kubo Shaltstaka. Nagvis Vishnaim is a Kumishalaka Sushalaja, like a kind of charitable organization that has two people that can collect and two people that can distribute. Ubesak Nessas, Ubesak Meritas, Ubesak Nessas, Rofa, the Omen, the Lavlar, Milan and Pinokos. And then you have a shul, a bathhouse. A doctor.
Right, but the last base, that's a piece of kisei, I think.
Oh,
base
of kisei.
He's no bathroom, Tom Hoffman shouldn't live there.
Right, I don't know.
Everyone else apparently can.
Nah, I mean, I guess the idea is that they wouldn't use a bathroom.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. Rofa, which Rashi says is essentially a moil. The Omen.
Interesting, okay.
Some of the other reasons I wanted to say otherwise. Omen is a bloodletter for Rashi.
Which probably was pushing Rashi to call the Rofe the Moha, because if the bloodletter is, that's the main medical role. Okay.
Yeah.
Lavlar?
Lavlar is like a book writer.
Yeah, he's the scribe, someone who writes the Sfarim.
He like copies the books down, I guess. And then Milani Tiokos, and like a Milani Rofeder.
Yeah. And then Rikiv also says you need,
How is that six? I mean, I guess some of these people need to have the same, it only could work as six if some of these people are taking on multiple roles. Because you have, right away, from the Kubashal stuff, that's five people.
Well, but some of these things aren't people, right?
But something, you just accounting for the things that are people.
Right.
Kubashal Stavka, Nagus Vishnayan, Estakas Vishlosha. Rofa, Omen, Lavlar, Milami, Tinoko, that's not. Right. So you need it. Basically, really, Rofa, Omen, and Lavlar are all just one person. And maybe, something along those lines.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure how you finished.
Beit Machimotion 1, Kubashal Stavka.
As we're already at 114, so the question is, we need six more to close it. So we definitely have the Rofe, the Uman, the Lavlar, the Melame Tinokos is four. And then if the Stucca people count, then you have too many. So I'm not sure how they close the how they close the circuit.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like 121.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just has to be that somebody's doing
multiple
things.
I guess. But at any rate, the point I just wanted to get out of here is that. So you, of these 120 people, so almost the entire city is involved in the court case,
right?
When you look at a city to evaluate whether it's going to have a Sanhedrin or not, you almost look at the entire population as involved in the Mishpat, right? You know, well, 23 of these people are, you know, so 1/5 of the population is, or 1/6 of the population is are the judges, and then. You know, like half of the people are the students of the judgment, and then some of these people are the bailiffs. Some of these people are like witnesses. Some of these people are, you know, every single role. So you see that the entire population really is generating the need for a mishpat. So I think that both within the position of Rabbi Nechemia, who says right the 23 representatives of 10, and the Chacham, who say 120, which is almost, you know, looking at the whole city as people who are involved in the court, you see this concept coming through where. It's not just a top-down system of, you know, the Besdin walking in and saying their piece, but it's where the need and authority of the Besdin really is coming through from the people. Now, that last one was my idea. You could take it or leave it. Okay, so now we've got only half an hour, and this piece from the Rav is really, really crucial, so we'll see how much we can get through. Were you guys able to make your way through some of it? Okay, so do you remember how he opens up the piece? The question from the Sefer HaMitzvot?
We're going to find where he talks about Kiddush Kodesh and how,
right.
Basically what the process for that is.
And so the Rambam took a very strong stance. So the Rambam insisted on the fact that when they, in order to engage in Kliyas HaChodesh Al Pi HaRa'iyah, right, to bring in witnesses and have them determine the new moon, that could only be done by what he called the Besdin Kavua, right, the established Besdin in Eretz Yisrael, meaning the Sanhedrin of 71. He believes that very strongly. And the Ramban attacks him with just a very simple historical kasha, that we know that already 40 years before Korban Beis HaMikdash, where, you know, Judea was already a Roman province, and the Jews were steadily losing the authority to self-adjudicate. So 40 years before the Korban, the Sanhedrin are already out of Yerushalayim. So already, you know, by the year 30 CE, so that would be technically before Jesus died. So if you do whatever you want with that, B'nai Yisrael have lost the ability to adjudicate the Union of Hashos. They cannot execute anybody. The Sanhedrin is out, right? We saw the Rambam and Halchos Mamrim say that the Bezen HaGadol is only a Bezen HaGadol when they're in Yerushalayim, right? They have to be in the Lashkas HaGazis, right on the foot of Har HaBayis. If they're not there, then they're not a Bezen HaGadol, right? We saw the Rambam say that black and white. They have to be in Yerushalayim. So the Ramban says, well, time out. We know historically that they were out of Yerushalayim already 40 years before the Chorban. And yet we know that all throughout the Mishnah and even into the Gemara, B'nai Yisrael were engaged in, you know, they determined the Rosh Chodesh with witnesses, right? The calendar system didn't come in until hundreds of years later. So the Rambam's position just doesn't make any sense very simply from a historical perspective. It can't be at least correct. And it seems to be a pretty strong question, right? I mean, we know the story of Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, or Rabbi Yeshua makes him come to the court on the day that he thought was Yom Kippur because they disagreed about Bima Kadesh HaChodesh. We had Rabbi Gamliel would set up his signs of the moon, right, and ask the witnesses, the moon looked like this, it looked like that. We know that even after the Chorban, B'nai Yisrael were figuring out the new moon based on testimony from witnesses. So and the Rambam must have known that too. So how on earth can the Rambam tell you so strongly? And Sefer Mitzvos, he like goes on and on and on at length, arguing very strongly that you need the Sanhedrin to be doing this. So where this is going to get us, this is, you know, if you're engaged in analysis, and this gets you very excited, because you always, if you're trying to, Dr. Soloveitchik likes to say that analysis is the breaking down of the whole into its constituent parts. So if we're taking the roles of the Bez and Agadah, taking the roles of the Sanhedrin, we're trying to break them down. So you're going to want to look at situations where we can isolate one role versus another role. So if we can see the Rambam is giving power and status to the Bez and Agadah, even though they're not in Yerushalayim, so that tells us that apparently they have different roles, and some roles they've lost when they're not in Yerushalayim, but some roles they still have. So this is, you know, like the pasuk is that Omer Garshuni, we need to figure out what exactly is going on here. What status does the Bez and Hagadol have when they're not in Yerushalayim, and how does that allow them to be responsible for Kiddush HaChodesh? Okay, so we don't have to read the part off inside, but the Rav does point out that there's a bit of a hint in the language of the Rambam, because when we saw the Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim, he described, how did the Rambam describe the Beis Din in Hilchos Mamrim? Do you remember?
How he described it?
Yeah. Right before that. Exactly. Beis Din HaGadol, right? So the Beis Din HaGadol. That's the term he uses. And all of a sudden, when he talks about their role being Mekadesh L'Chodesh, he calls them, where does he have it? He calls them a Bezdin, I'm not sure where he has it, but he calls them a Bezdin Kavua, the established Bezdin. So all of a sudden, he's using a different term. They're no longer the Bezdin HaGadol, they're the Bezdin Kavua. Okay, and there are a few other hints that something strange is going on. If you guys have seen the Mishnah, right, our Mishnah starting off with Sanhedrin, so the Mishnah is engaged in a whole long list of what? What's the Mishnah doing this whole time? Our first Mishnah. Sanhedrin based on. Yeah, exactly. It's telling you all the different roles of the different Bati Din. So, you know, this is done by 3, this is done by 3, this is done by 3, everything is done by 3. Then everything is done by 23. And then everything is done by 71. If you look for Mekadesh HaChodesh in our Mishnah, you're not going to find it. And so that's weird. If the Rambam thinks so strongly that it has to be done by the Sanhedrin, it should be in our Mishnah. In fact, if you guys can open up the Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin, Perek Hei Halacha Aleph. This is another...
Hey,
Aleph? Yeah, Hey Aleph. There's another Rambam we have to have on speed dial. So this is where the Rambam is ticking off all the things from the Mishnah, basically, that are done by 71, right? Halacha Beis is the things that are done by 23, but Halacha Aleph is the things that are done by 71. So what does he have here? He's got... Right, you have to set up a king with 71, setting up judges with 23 is a 71... judging the Shevet, judging a Navi Sheker, judging a Kohen Gadol, judging a Zaki Mamre, judging a Yarni Dachas, giving the water to the Sota, expanding Yerushalayim, expanding the Beis HaMikdash, right? What's missing here? You don't see anything about Kiddush HaChodesh. Now, so the Rambam is like such a animam in Ben Muda Shalayim, felt so strongly that Kfiyas HaChodesh must be done by Sanhedrin HaGadol. And he goes on, he writes about this at length in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, he goes on about this at length in Sefer HaMitzvos. How on earth could he have forgotten to talk about it when he has the halacha that tells you the things that are that the Sanhedrin of 71 are is responsible for? So, those are the questions. Does anybody know the answer? Alright, so let's go to, if you can open up the piece from the Rav, let's go to Chelek Dalet. That's really, Chelek Dalet is really the turning point of the piece. So let's try to go through this slowly inside. We can all just rotate paragraphs. I'll start with the first paragraph, and then we go.
Mikodem.
Yeah, Mikodem Shanam Shechladim Malachazel. It's page Nun Aleph in the book. By the way, there is some typo with this because they have Chalakim Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet Hey Vav and Tes.
Yeah, I was wondering if something.
I am not sure. They also have I don't remember if it was in one of these Chalakim they have at some point. Did any of you guys go to Shalvim for men or women, any chance? No? Any of you here ever hear Yammer from Shalvim speak? No? Alright, so he's an Israeli Ram in Shalvim, so my brother had him a couple years ago, he was there, and he did the Perm Spiel this year. So he was imitating his, apparently the way he gives Shir is he mixes up, like, numbers with letters when he's counting, so he'll be like, you know, like, number Aleph, and, you know, like, Misbar Bet, number Gimel. So at some point here they have this also. They have, like, one and then Beis Gimel Dalet. So I guess the editing was up to par, but the actual tone here is great. It happens to be, if you can get your, this book is, like, $12. It's called Kogis Chidushei Torah. It's articles that were printed in the old. All right, so I'm saying it's great to have. It's most of the articles are shorter. It's articles that are printed in old journals from the Rav and from his father. What's also great about it is that there are some ideas that the Rav had, which, for example, the idea that he talks about in here, he talks about in a few places, like it's well known from his Yartzeit Shirim, but if you want to get it in like its most distilled, like concise and to the point form, without like all the flowery hashkafa stuff and other things that got thrown in there, this is often like where the original ideas came through. So it's worthwhile to have. But so anyway, Chelak Baalish, just to remind ourselves, right? So the Rambam, we have a problem because Rambam was pushing very hard for the witnesses establishing the new moon has to be done under the court of 71. First of all, the Ramban had asked, that makes no sense historically, because for hundreds of years there was no such Sanhedrin. Second of all, it's missing from the Mishnah. Third of all, it's missing from where the Rambam should have it himself. And fourth of all, the Rambam all of a sudden starts using this new term. He's calling it a Bezdin Kavua instead of a Bezdin Hagadol. So the answer has to be that, you know, in some way that there are different roles that the Sanhedrin of 71 is fulfilling. And whatever role the Sanhedrin of 71 is fulfilling in Mamrim Aleph Aleph, when they're in Yerushalayim, and they're Ikar Torah Shabbat Peh, etc., etc., is a different role than what's going on here in Kiddush HaChodesh. The question is, you know, what exactly is that role? How are we going to define this different job that Bezdin has? So the Rambam, so the Rav has, right, Mikodim Shanam Sheikh Ladun Bahalacha Zo, Retzinil Hayerba Inyan Acher, Shemitochona Mod Al Gufam Shal Hadvarim Khan. So we need to have some background before we dig into answering what exactly is this other mysterious role of the Sanhedrin. Okay, so let's just go down the line if you guys are okay with that. I'm just going through paragraphs 101.
Right.
Okay. Meaning?
So Eretz Yisrael is referred to in all places. It's referring to the lands that were conquered by the king of Israel and by the prophet, according to the opinion of the majority of Israel.
Yeah, exactly.
It's called the Kibush Rabi.
Conquest of the public.
Yeah.
Right, so the key line here is, it has to be Navi Midas Rov Yisrael, the prophet operating with the authority and the intent of the majority of Bnei Yisrael. Okay.
Rishitato hi the kibush rabim talui the melech v'dat rov Yisrael. Tzarich iyum, the behilchot melachim perek hei, halacha vav, shinak tzat et hadvarim v'nakat, kol ha'aretzot shekoshin Yisrael v'melech al pi beitin, harei ze kibush rabim, v'harei hi ka'aretz Yisrael shekavash Yehoshua l'chol devar v'kule.
Right, so who got dropped? And who got put in instead here? We still have the Melech.
Bacon. That's the people.
All people.
Right. All of a sudden, instead of Das Rov Yisrael, we have...
It works well with the first thing we said today.
Exactly. Exactly. That's where we're trying to go. And so now the Rav is gonna lay this black on white. Hooray.
Hooray demakom dat Rav Yisrael mishtamish harambam alti beitim. Lichora devarav satrim ahad v'le.
Yeah, black and white contradiction.
Well, the matosh on the bar, gam perek rishon yihilchot shumot lachagim al hidgish, the kibush rabim talui v'shut beitim. Haaretzot shekavash David chutz la'aretz k'na'an v'kulei. Afal pi sheyesh ha-melech Yisrael, hu v'al pi beitim ha-gadol hu osa v'kulei.
Right. So once again, right, we have David operating through the best in Haggadah. So what's going on? Is Eretz Yisrael, does Eretz Yisrael receive its sanctity through the conquest of the multitudes, Rov Yisrael, or through the authority of the Bezdin Haggadah? Or exactly. That's where we're gonna have to go, right? So let's go to paragraph.
So Kibush Rabim really depends on the dot of the collective of Bnei Yisrael.
Exactly.
And that's the halacha of Kibush Rabim, that you need like the entire like Kol Yisrael, and the Rambam himself says that in that halacha that like one person from Israel or a family or a shevet that just like goes and does it is not that goes and just like conquers.
Right.
On its own, that's not considered.
It's called Kibush Rabim for a reason. It has to be the public. So if Shimshon would go out and do some, you know, lone heroics, that's very nice, but you can't give Eretz Yisrael Kedusha through the accomplishments of one person. It has to be through Bnei Yisrael as a unit. Okay.
V'hainu, zehu etzem ha-hazel bein Kibush Rabim and Kibush Yachid al pi dat Rashi v'harambam.
Let's go to that.
Okay. The kibush yachid kayam aide yachidim, the kibush rabim humase kibush hamase aide kol yisrael tzacham. Zuhi ha-halacha shal melech v'dat rov yisrael. The kibush melech o nabi midat rov yisrael mikre kibush rabim. V'haskama rovam shal yisrael kova et ofi ha-kibush v'tur kibush rabim.
Yeah. So, because the question is, well, how do you define when is a conquest done by a bunch of individuals and when is a conquest done by the public? Any conquest is done by an army, right? So if you raise an army from Bnei Yisrael and you go and you conquer some province, so what's the determining factor whether that's done by the Rav or it's done by Yechidim? It's done by 30,000 soldiers. What's the difference?
Do we call that Eretz Yisrael?
In order to call that Eretz Yisrael, right? I have two different battles. One battle in the north, one battle in the south. Two different, you know, Yoav and Abishai are both battling. With 30,000 Jewish soldiers. And in one case, their conquest makes it Eretz Yisrael, it's called Kibush Rabim, and in one case, their conquest is called Kibush Yachid, it's not called Eretz Yisrael. So, what's the difference? What's the determining factor, he says here?
Is a melech or a nabi spearheading
it? Exactly, and operating with Midas.
Midat Rav Yisrael.
Yeah. Now the question is going to be, well, very nice, but how do you get Das Rov Yisrael? Are you going to have like an Athenian democracy where, you know, Doug has to take a vote of every single person before he goes to war? How does that make any sense? Okay. I think I know what you're saying.
Like, how do they vote sometimes on certain things? Like, they just give it to them.
Well, yeah. How does American democracy work?
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Representative democracy as opposed to direct democracy. That's exactly the point that the rest of them in paragraph. This one, by the way, I have a star next
to it, so hence. Well, the golden Rishut Beitin Hagadol, Shah Rambam is cured the Hilchot Machin, the Gamma Machimo, in a Kobe Halacha Bepantma, the Hilchot Kibush Rabin, the Shem Kalo Kibush Rabin, Tuimum, then Bedat Beitin Hagadol. Mehech and Hadish, Tim Kazan.
Yeah, that's the question.
So the in Hilchot Trumot and Hilchot Melachim, it doesn't mention that where we, according to what we just mentioned in Rambam previously, just doesn't mention that you need, he just mentions Rabbi Israel and doesn't mention the idea of Beit HaGadol, but in Hilchot Melachim.
And Hilchot Trumot, instead of talking about Rabbi Israel, he talks about the Beit HaGadol. So why is he talking about, if the whole point is Kibush Rabin, right, the multitudes, the nation, so then why all of a sudden are we dropping nation and swapping in Beit HaGadol? So the answer has got to be,
Hello, there should be Beit HaGadol about Rav and Kom that Rabbi Israel. The Kolei Chadigas has Machat Beit HaGadol. Yishun has Machat that Rabbi Israel. Lo Beinan Nitzilat Rishut Miyuchadet. So it's not that they're asking specific permission from the Beit Din, but the Beit Din is supposed to be representative of that Rabbi Israel.
Exactly. They have. We see the 71 people, the head Sanhedrin, as representing the collective will of the nation. And so therefore, if the king doesn't have to do it, he doesn't have to go to every single member of Klal Yisrael, if he gets the representatives on his side, right, like our first talked about, if he gets the 71 people to approve the war, sign off on it, then this now has the stamp of a publicly approved war, and it'll be called the Kibush Rabin. All right. Two more paragraphs. Yeah, go for it.
The Perek Aleph Mehilchot Trumot Halacha Bet Sharambam Higdir Bepam Harishona Et Hamusag Shal Kibush Rabim Deshem Hu Mekor Veikar Halacha.
This is the original place where we see it the first time. This is the primary location.
Right. Nakat Shnei Hadvarim Haikarim Hamechadshim Chalot Kibush Rabim Lechol Dinei.
Dinei, right. What are the two key? There, he's going to tell you the two key elements which comprise a public conquest. Namely,
Melech Bedat, Rabbi Yisrael.
Right.
Masha Enkein Behalacha or
Behalacha Gimel.
Yeah, Behalacha Gimel. Benidon Milchemet Surya Beperek Hey Mehalacha Melechim Shelo Baal Lefarish Et Halacha Shel Kibush Rabin. So his point was not to explain what Kibush Rabin
is. Right. I'm not giving you a conceptual analysis.
Kim Ubda Echa Midina Hamelech Naka.
I'm telling you practical halachos.
Okay. Lo Nachit Lo Umka Dina. He didn't have to like go deep into that.
Right. We're interested in the practicalities. We're not interested here in the core definitional concepts.
The Chalok Kibush Rabin Tliya Bada Rabbi Yisrael Beis Tapek Rak Bedin Hasheni Dereshut Beit Din Hagadol Mo'ila B'Makom Haskamat Ruvam Shel Yisrael.
Right. So when we're talking conceptually, right, so the real power and authority for Kibush Rabim to make Eretz Yisrael Kadosh comes from the people. And that's why he has that in the beginning of Hilchos Trumos. Later on, when the Rambam is telling you, okay, let's talk Tachlis, how do you actually perform this conquest? So practically speaking, the king didn't go to all the people, the king went to the Sanhedrin, because they're the representatives. So when the Rambam is talking Tachlis, now he'll talk about the Beit HaGadol instead of talking about the Dat Rov Yisrael.
Just like theoretically, if the Rambam had in a different place drawn this out, like we wouldn't need to like pull it out, right? Like I'm saying, like if he had spelled this out somewhere,
right?
Like it's just interesting. Like we had to like kind of pull this out from his, I don't know.
Right. One of thousands of examples.
Yeah. I mean, I guess like that's the fun of it, but it's like it's interesting. Like, if he, I don't know, like certain things, like he spells out, like I don't know.
Yeah, though even here, when he spells, yeah, Dr. Salvage likes to say that he says the more you study Rashi, the simpler Rashi becomes, and the more you study Rambam, the more you realize that he's a riddle wrapped in an enigma. And there are times where he like for the Morning Wilfam is the best example where he tells you, I'm going to try to confuse you. And if you don't like know what I'm talking about, then you're just you're gonna lose me. So he liked to talk on multiple levels and be as concise as possible. and it's amazing because he could be so clear and yet leave so much so much hidden. No one else in Jewish history really has had that power since then. Yeah. Okay, so the last paragraph of Chelek Dalet.
Here we go.
And that's the quote from
our Rambam.
Exactly. This is the Sanhedrin Agadol. These are the people who are in Yerushalayim. Okay, so let's translate that. This is bet, right? Roll number two.
The entire the das of Israel or their permission,
right,
is a chalos of chalos ma'isa shel klal Yisrael. It's it works as it just works on behalf of all the nations.
If I need the nation to do something, or I need the nation to agree to something, so since the nation is so many thousands of people, I can't do that just through them individually. I use, that's done through the 71 representatives.
Right.
Yeah. So they're acting both as the Amudei HaHorah, right? They're the head court, head Sanhedrin, enforcers of religious observance, like we saw last time in the Rambam, the head poskim. But they're also, they have a second role, which is as the representative unit for the public.
Right.
So I think in the rest of the paragraph he's just gonna argues that this concept comes from the pasuk of Asvali Shivim Ishma Ziknei Yisrael Asher Yadata Kihem Ziknei Ha'am Vishot Rav. Right. So there, that pasuk emphasizes, get me the 71 people who are the Ziknei Ha'am, right? They're the elders of the people, but they're coming from the people themselves. Okay. And then we'll just to close, and it's late, so I'll just read the first paragraph in chapter Hey, where he brings us all back to the original question of Kiddush HaChodesh. So he says, V'yalkin yish lomar, dehalacha me'inzo nem ragam b'kviyas ha'moadim, right? Just like in the question of making Eretz Yisrael, giving Eretz Yisrael sanctity, that's done through the Beis Din as the representatives of all of Klal Yisrael. So too, it's the same halacha as it's going on with setting the new moon. Yisodahu, the Kiddush HaChodesh v'Ibur Hashana lo nimsur l'chachilah v'Sanhedrin gedola. It's not the responsibility of the Sanhedrin HaGadol in Yerushalayim, the Hilchos Mamrim Sanhedrin. It's not their job. That's the job of the nation. Yisrael says black and white, Yisrael are in charge of sanctifying the months. Like we said, Yom Kippur will say soon as Sukkot, Mekadesh Yisrael ve'azmanim. Hashem sanctifies Bnei Yisrael the months, but Bnei Yisrael are the ones who sanctify the months. The kol samchuso shel bez and hagadol benidon didan. The entire authority, this is an important line, the entire authority of the bez and hagadol in our case, mevuseses al halacha hashnia shenemrabo. This all their authority comes from the second halacha. Sheyesh bechlal maasav maaseh kol Yisrael. When the Sanhedrin hagadol acts, it's as if the entire nation is acting because they're representing the nation. Ulficha, keshachodesh meskalish al yedei Sanhedrin shall ayin aleph. Haray ika kam kviyas kol Yisrael. Right? How do you get the kviyas of all of Bnei Yisrael through the Sanhedrin? Beram. However, ein kocho shall bezin hagadol yafa lekidesh achodesh veibur hashana el mishum shehu kovdeya ba'ag kol Yisrael. They don't have this authority independently. They can't walk in and say, we're the Sanhedrin, and since we're the Sanhedrin, what we say goes. They get their authority because it's coming from all the nation. When the Sanhedrin says, it's Rosh Chodesh, that really, it's as if Bnei Yisrael are saying, it's Rosh Chodesh. Ulam, abezen agadol, taras atzmo, uvdin hora, umaisa Sanhedrin gadola greida, Liat Starfus Kvias Kol Yisrael, just as Sanhedrin, without the representative power that they get from the people, Eino Yachol Likvala, they cannot do it by themselves. It has to be operating through the nation. And that's going to be why. So, I mean, he'll go on, he'll explain a bunch of other things. But that's why this halacha is not going to be in the first mission of Sanhedrin. That's why he's not going to talk with us in Parak Hey, because it's not Sanhedrin qua Sanhedrin. It's Sanhedrin qua representatives of Klal Yisrael. And that's why even when they're not the formal Bez Din HaGadol in Yerushalayim, right, they've been thrown out 40 years before the Churban, as long as B'nai Yisrael recognizes these people as the primary court, that's where they're getting their relevant authority from. Because in order to sanctify the new moon, their power comes from the people. So if the people tell them, look, we know that you're not the formal Hochos Manim Sanhedrin, but we look to you as the authoritative group, that is what gives them the ability to set the new moon. That's what gives them the ability to sanctify new parts of Eretz Yisrael. And I think it fits in very well with the sources that we saw in the beginning of the show.
And that's as opposed to other things that the Beit Din does that's not, like, in terms of, like, Kiddush HaKodesh is different because...
Yeah, in other words, he'll argue that there are some rules that the Beis Din has as a Beis Din, and there are some rules that they have that are directly as
representation. So the ones in our Mishnah are more just them as a Beis Din.
Right, exactly. Okay. Now, you can make the argument, which I would make, that on some broader level, you know, Beis Din always gets their authority as their representatives. Really, yeah. In some cases, it's, you know,
right. Okay.
Only some. Yeah. All right. Any other questions? Good. Great.
All right, thank you.